Our first reading is from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. The reading can be found on page 1052 of the Church Bibles, or page 1856 of the large print versions. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me my justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And our Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now we come to our reading from Hebrews chapter 11, which can be found on page 1209 in the Bibles in the pews, or in the large print versions, it's 2122. And it's also on your sheet, which makes it easier. And we're going to get a glimpse in these verses of God's Hall of Fame, which perhaps should be called God's Hall of Faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they'd left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So before I begin, a prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning we are carrying on with our series in the book of Hebrews, and we come to chapter 11, the famous chapter on faith. Chapter 11 brings us to the heart of what it means to be a Christian. And we read a succession of Old Testament characters commended for their faith. Basically, there can be no Christian life without faith. There may be an attempt at a Christian lifestyle, but there can be no deep-rooted, life-changing relationship with God without faith. Life with faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, gives to us the ultimate reason for our existence, the ultimate purpose of our lives, and the ultimate power to sustain us through our life. Faith helps us to make sense of the life that we wake up to and face every day. Now, everybody lives by faith in some way. We place our faith in doctors to heal us. We place our faith in bankers to look after our money, in pilots to land us safely, and in other drivers to obey the highway code and stay on the right side of the road, or the left side of the road, whichever. But even when it comes to the existence of God, people still need faith. The atheist has faith that there isn't a God. The theist has faith that there is a God. The atheist and the theist have no conclusive proof of their belief, but they trust that what they have come to believe is true. For the past few hundred years, rational, reasoning mankind, especially in the West, and especially men, have sought to measure, explain, and quantify everything. Everything now has to be proved, especially the existence of God. The atheist says, "In order for me to believe in God, you have to prove to me that God exists. Unless I agree that God exists, God cannot exist. Even though I am only one person in 7 billion people on this earth. Even though the earth on which I stand orbits just one of 100 billion suns in our galaxy, which is only one of 100 billion galaxies in the universe. Even though 96% of our universe is made up of stuff that our smartest scientists can't see, detect, or understand. And even if I live to be 100 years old, I will only live for just one 140 millionth of the universe's existence to this point. In spite of all of that, I still deem myself qualified to decide and proclaim that God doesn't exist. Now, when we look at that argument, it doesn't seem to me to be the Christian who has the closed mind. It doesn't seem to me to be the Christian who is irrational. And it doesn't seem to me to be the Christian who is arrogant. Now, how does the writer at the beginning of our passage define faith? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, that's a pretty emphatic definition, isn't it? But the writer here isn't talking about the detail of doctrine. He's simply talking about trusting our lives to Jesus and knowing that in the end, whatever happens, we'll be okay. So for me, faith is less about being sure or certain about what I hope for, and more about being sure and certain about who I hope in. Because I am 100% sure of the faithfulness of the God that I read about throughout the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And I'm 100% certain of the faithfulness of the God that I see at work in the awesomeness of creation and in the lives of people who've opened their broken hearts to him. So what does Hebrews chapter 11, or what has that got to do with us now? And how can that help us day to day in our work, in our homes, at school? Now first, it encourages us that through faith, our roots are firmly established, not only down through human history, but through all history, and deep into the life-giving source of all things, Almighty God. Faith in God begins with God. It comes from God and is based on God, the creator of all things. For those with faith, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so, for those with faith, our lives are founded on God, sustained by God, and directed towards God. And the question that we need answers to is, how do we best serve God and his purposes in our lives? But for those without faith, In the beginning, what? And because their lives, therefore, are founded on nothing, they are driven by an endless quest to answer questions the Bible has already answered. What is the reason and purpose of life? Hebrews 11 also encourages those who are feeling like giving up, because maybe they've been laboring a long time and it seems that they're getting nowhere. It encourages those Christians who feel that they have to have the answers to everything and they have to have them now, and yet they hear no answers. It encourages the Christian, those who are worn down by ridicule, abuse, or even rejection. Because if these people that we read about in this passage can live faithful lives without seeing visible results or receiving tangible reward, then so can we. They took God at his word, they believed what God said, and they lived accordingly. And because of that, they are commended for their faith. Now let's briefly consider some of the people that we read about. God, as we know, sees into every person's heart. God sees into our hearts. And so when Adam and Eve's sons offered sacrifices to God, God accepted Abel's sacrifice because Abel's heart was right with God. But Cain's heart was not, which was proven by Cain's murder of his brother Abel. Abel had faith. And he died for his faith. Enoch appears for only a few verses in Genesis chapter 5. He walked faithfully with God for 300 years. Enoch's faith brought him into a close relationship with God, a sustained attitude of faithfully walking with God. Not a sprint, but a close walk over a long life. And because of his faith, God rewarded him by not allowing him to see death, but by taking him away before he died. Noah trusted God and built the ark. He tried to warn the people, but he was ridiculed for his faith. Abraham trusted God, and he left his homeland and his father. He was even prepared to sacrifice his own son. He was taken well out of his comfort zone and tested to the extreme. Moving beyond our reading, Moses was challenged with responsibility beyond anything he could consider possible. Rahab was saved from the destruction of Jericho, and other prophets that we read of endured all manner of suffering. If we look at these faithful women and men of the past, if we look at faithful women and men throughout history, the one lesson that we learn is that Christian faith is not about me, 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 now, now, now. That's what the world teaches. Christian faith may involve being taken way out of our comfort zones, being tested beyond what we think we can cope with, being challenged beyond what we think we are capable of. It will almost certainly involve maintaining that steadfast attitude of trust in God for the rest of our lives, regardless of our comfort, our testing, and our challenge, which may include ridicule, rejection, suffering, and even death. How's that for a recruitment campaign for the church? Each of these Old Testament characters took the baton and ran their leg of the race. They passed that baton on without seeing the finishing line. This sequence of characters runs all the way through the chapter to Jesus Christ at the beginning of chapter 12. All of these people were part of God's plan heading towards one person, Jesus Christ. That baton has been passed down the centuries, and now it's our turn. Here and now is our leg of this great race. Jesus has chosen us for his team. He has entrusted us with the baton until we hand it on to the next person, who will hand it on to the next person, and so on, and finally to Christ, who will run the home straight. We don't know how long the race will last. We don't know the course the race will take or how hard it will be. But thanks to God and his gift of faith, we do know that Christ wins. And everyone in the team gets a gold medal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement of this great cloud of witnesses. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. Help us to throw off everything that hinders us, and in the power of the Holy Spirit and with complete faith in you, let us run with perseverance this race that you have marked out for us. For Jesus' sake, amen.